Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What's the longest verse in the Holy Quran? I guarantee you, if you were to ask many Muslims in the world to tell you what the longest ayah of the Holy Quran is, sadly, many will not be able to answer. It's a great quiz question, in fact, if you're ever involved in these quizzes, like our beloved Yasir is, where you could literally ask, what's the longest ayah in the Holy Quran? And you find, therefore, that if someone was to ask me when I was younger, what's the longest verse in the Holy Quran, I would have assumed it would be a verse that discusses God, because Muslims talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much and talk about their Lord and want to build a relationship with their Lord. So I would have assumed that the longest ayah in the Holy Quran would be about the Lord. No. I would have assumed that the longest ayah in the Holy Quran would be about, as an example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, most revered within the religion of Islam. You'd think that the longest verse that would give us instructions about how to relate to the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, how to follow his example, how to understand his teachings, would be a verse that discusses parts of his biography. No. Longest verse in the Holy Quran may be about an act of worship. Like Salah, we all know, Muslims and non-Muslims know that Muslims love their prayers. Especially a prayer like the Friday prayer, 5 times a day prayer is obligatory. Is the longest verse in the Holy Quran about Salah? No. So the longest verse in the Holy Quran, what is it then about? Why is it as well that many Muslims do not know which is the longest verse in the Quran? Yes, if you were to ask many Muslims, what is the longest surah in the Holy Quran? Straight away, all of us would say Surah Al-Baqarah. Yes. But if you were to ask many Muslims, what is the longest verse in the Holy Quran? I think it shows us two things when they cannot answer. Number one, our lack of a relationship with the Holy Quran. You see, our relationship with things that we love, we know everything about. If you tell me, for example, who's Liverpool's longest serving player? Which player has played for the club the most? I will be able to mention you names of players who I know have got many appearances under their belt. I'll mention to you Callahan, I'll mention to you Gerrard, I'll mention to you others who have got many appearances under their belt. Longest serving player for your football club, many will be able to answer. But the Quran, we're seeking in this month to build a relationship where when someone says to me, what's the shortest ayah in the Quran? I'll point to an ayah in Surah Al-Rahman. What's the longest ayah in the Quran? I'll point to an ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. And I'll know what that ayah is about as well. But more importantly, when I'm looking at the longest verse in the Holy Quran, it highlights that even my understanding of the religion and what determines my religiosity is not necessarily what we're taught in our mosques. In our mosques, what are we taught? That a person's religiosity is the beard that they keep, is the sibha they have in their hand, is the way they dress, is their attendance in the mosque. All of these are important. But what if this is the type of person who, for example, is not trustworthy? A person who accrues a lot of debt, a person who ends up scamming, a person who ends up stealing. The reality is that our conception of religious is far from the meaning that the Quran and the teachings and the traditions of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, guide us with. Because when I ask you, what is the word for religion in Arabic? What would you say to me, the word for religion in Arabic? Deen. Deen, what does it mean in English? Straight away, what do we say? Religion. But if I, for example, have given someone a den. Den, what does it mean? Den means a particular amount that I've borrowed them, I've loaned someone, true? So therefore, what does deen have to do with a loan or borrowing or even a debt? That we are accountable with a certain debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill what He's asked us to follow. Our understanding even of religion, the word deen, straight away when you ask someone, bro, are you following the deen? He'll say, yes, bro, I'm following the religion. But deen in its origin is a debt. And I'm accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if I'm in debt for the religion that He's guided me with. The longest ayah in the Holy Quran, the longest verse in the Holy Quran, talks about how I'm accountable for the debts or the loans that I have with people. For it's known as ayat ad-din, the verse of loans, or the verse of that which you have borrowed, or the verse of debt that may be accrued. This ayah is longer than some surahs of the Quran. Because when I pick one ayah to discuss for this whole episode of In the Quran, it must have a lot to talk about. Because if I were to ask you, give me an ayah that you've memorized, someone might say, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar is not something that's going to be a 45, 50 minute discussion. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. These verses may have one instruction. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Quick. This one has 19 instructions in one ayah. There is no verse in the Quran as long as the verse not on Salah, not on God, not on the Prophet, but on debts and loans that you take or you give. Where's the most trouble in a Muslim community? Is it to do with Salah? Not really. Most people, when they come to pray Salah, mind their own business. You might always have that one naggy person who might come and say, well, is the Imam Adil? Is he someone I can pray behind? I'm not sure if I trust him. You might have that one. Most of the time, you just get there. Who's the Allahu Akbar? Let's just finish Salah and get on with life. You're not going to have many problems with Saum. Even Hajj time, let's face the facts. You get there, you're in a group, you meet other groups, you finish and you move on. If ever there was a problem in the Muslim community, it's the problem when it comes to duyun. When I've, for example, either incurred a debt or I have given someone some money and bro, they're not paying it back. I see Hussein, for example, one day Hussein comes to me. He says to me, Sayyidina, I have a particular product. If you can borrow me some money, in our lingo, I'll pay it back to you, but I need some of this money up front, Sayyidina, because the product that I have, I may be growing it on a farm. So I'm going to have to buy some seeds. I'm going to have to buy the right equipment. But Sayyidina, give me a year, and I'll give it back to you. A year comes, I call Hussein. I'm like, Hussein, Habibi, if you can give it back to me, because I recognized that this was a transaction where you needed an upfront payment. But you said to me, within a year, you'll give it back to me. Can you give it back to me? Wallah, Sayyidina, you don't know what's happened. Ahlif bil Hussein, ahlif bil Abbas, I tried my hardest and I went here and you don't know this and that and so on. So I'm like, Habibi, but you said to me last year. He's like, bro, I'm telling you, just give me 2 weeks and contact me. 2 weeks, his phone's number's changed. So I'm like, where's Hussein? Then when I tell my friend that, you know what, I had this agreement with Hussein, where he said that on their farm in Cricklewood, they're going to grow me strawberries for the year. And nothing's happened. I'm trying to get my money back. It's a forget profit. La'natullah on the Prophet. All I want is my money back. Just give me my money. You said to me, bro, just give me a certain amount. So my friend goes to me, he says, get the contract. Where's the contract? I'm like, what do you mean contract? He's like, he's my boy. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you've got a contract, obviously the contract's going to be helpful. I'm like, la, Habibi, I've known him for years. The Quran wanted to address this point, that it doesn't matter how long you've known someone. They're close to you or they're not close to you. Make sure that everything is documented when you give somebody any amount. Otherwise, it's going to come back to haunt you. Because we have some wonderfully generous people in our community that when you go to them and you say, listen, I'm in a bit of trouble. Do you mind helping me out? They'll give straight away. The problem is, when you don't give back to them, you become the embodiment of this other ayah in the Quran, which all of you have read. You've read the ayah, وَيَمْنَعُونَ ماعون. يمنعون الماعون is a verse that says, literally, if you translate it in English, they prevent a plate or they prevent something from being given out. These are the people who, when there's charitable people in the community or helpful people in the community who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, when they give them something, they don't return it. So what then happens? They block this person from giving to others. Because what happens with that person? He said, Toba, if I ever, ever give anyone any money again. That person used to give everybody. But because of one person's behavior, they were like, that's it. I'm never giving money to anybody again in my life. Because I gave you that money, £10, you said to me that you'll give it to me next week. Why has it been 6 months? How many people have come to you in your household, in your families, in the community, who said to you, bro, I gave this guy this much, I haven't seen any of it back yet. Some people, when these things happen, you'll find that they feel very guilty that they've gone through this. But the bigger problem is that in our systems, even in the madrasa, when we go to madrasa on a Saturday or Sunday, there's no discussion of these things when you're young. There isn't a discussion of if you're going to give someone some money, make sure you follow the 19 instructions in Surah Al-Baqarah. There isn't. Most of the discussions we have when we go to the madrasa, have you done wudu properly? Make sure that the water flows in this direction. Make sure that Salat al-Jama'ah, you know the following laws. These things are good. But practically speaking, the biggest problem we face and was faced in Arabian society 1,400 years ago was in which areas? Den. Den is a killer. You can't sleep when you owe someone money. You can't sleep. Because you know that A, that person's always going to ask you for the amount. B, that's on the day of judgment. Dan, deen. Deen, religion. Accountable to Allah for what He's blessed me with this religion. Dan, accountable to the creation of Allah, their generosity to me, and I'm not ready to give back to them. This ayah, the longest ayah in the Quran, was trying to highlight this religion isn't about the prostration mark on your forehead or how many verses of Quran you've memorized or how many ziyarah you've been on. While you have hurt another human being who was kind to you when they gave you a certain amount, that remains the reason we talk about this more than anything else. When you look at this ayah, my dear brothers and sisters, Surah 2, verse 282 of the Holy Quran, you'll see that this ayah discusses debt, loans, borrowing inside out. Let's begin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. What did I say about ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, there's two things. The first thing is, clearly we could tell this is a Medinian verse. Because most of the verses, not all, most of the verses that begin, ya ayyuhal nas, O mankind, are Mecca. Because Mecca, you're discussing tawheed, shirk, nubuwa, qiyamah. You're discussing general principles of religion. Whereas an ayah that says, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, this is what? This is an ayah in Medina, because you're talking to people in Medina who are part of a community now of believers. Secondly, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, what did I say? When Allah says, ya ayyuhal, we reply, labbaik. When Allah says, oh you who believe, I reply, labbaik. Here I am, my Lord. What is it that you want to guide me on? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Oh you who claim to have belief. You all claim to be mu'mineen. You go around saying, wallah, I'm a mu'min. I can't do this thing. It's haram for me. I'm a mu'min. Okay. Oh you who claim to have iman. Idha tadayantum bidaynin. إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّا فَاكْتُبُوا. O you who believe, when you contract each other alone for a certain period of time, what should you do? Write it. Point A. The Prophet wanted us to be a literate community. If you notice here in Medina and Mecca, you can't say everybody was amazingly literate. The Arabs, and the way that they used to preserve religion, they used to preserve it through oral tradition. A lot of them were fantastic in terms of memory. In terms of memorizing poems, for example, they could memorize you poems from any of the Jahili poetry inside out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wanted us to be a community where literacy was important. where we all knew how to read, we knew how to write. There are some of the viewers out there who still cannot read Arabic. When they cannot read Arabic, does that mean they give up? No, on the contrary, get yourself an Arabic tutor and let that Arabic tutor tutor you. Before you know it, within 3 months, I guarantee you, you'll be flying in Arabic. It's not that difficult. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family, grows up in a community where even when they have captives from war, he's like, you know what? Release them as long as they can teach our people how to read or write. Because literacy is a sign of a community that is full of knowledge, full of wisdom, and yearning to grow. It's a shame, sadly, wallah, in our Muslim communities and parts of the world, people don't read a book the whole year. They don't pick up a book to read. And this was a religion whose first ayah said, Iqra, read. So here, on the first level, faktubuh, the importance of writing, the importance of learning how to write. I don't think there were many, by the way, solicitors or lawyers at that time in Medina. So therefore, even that person that's going to write, he's going to have to come from a pretty respectable background. Because a lot of these people were not necessarily proficient writers. That's the first thing. Second thing, are these instructions from the door of wujub or the door of recommendation? Is it wajib that if I go into a deal with somebody else of a deen that I'm going to incur, for example, that I'm going to give them a particular loan or they're going to give me a particular loan, is it wajib for me to write? They say it's not obligatory, it's recommended. But highly recommended. Why? Because if me and Yasser enter a contract, and one day I say, Yasser, can you give me my money back? Yasser's like, where's your proof? How many times have you seen people in the community who's like, there's no proof? And you're like, bro, even you told me a few months ago that you took money. Yeah, but there's no proof. He's got no proof. Why? Because they know that in court, oral witnessing, oral testimony, does it really carry much weight? It's not going to carry much weight. Whereas if you've written it down, then it's going to carry a lot more weight. And if it's notarized, and if the solicitor has stamped, and it's been taken in the right places, then it's going to have a lot more weight. So therefore here, is it wajib for a person? Why do they say it's not wajib? Because of the next ayah. The next ayah talks of the fact that there are some people who you're able to trust. So in verse 283, فَإِنْ أَمِنَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا فَلْيُؤَدِّ الَّذِي أُؤْتُمْنَ. What does the Quran say? The Quran says that if one of you trusts another, which means that there is that leeway, that there are some people you trust enough that you don't write. But what's preferred? What's preferred is that a person writes. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمًّا فَاكْتُبُوهُ. O you who believe, you to have entered a contract for a loan, make sure that that loan, everything is set out in stone. Everything is written down. And when I say everything's written down, there are some people who just be like, yes, this amount is agreed. That's not sufficient. Write in more depth, the fixed time. Because don't come to me and say, he hasn't paid me back. I said, what did you agree? Say, I just said, when pay me back when you can. No, set a time. Say, for example, listen, within 6 months, please pay us back. If you can, try your hardest. Even if you can on a monthly basis, try your hardest. وَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ بِالْعَدْلِ. Let there be a scribe, so it doesn't have to be me and you. Let there be a scribe who writes with justice. What does it mean, let there be a scribe who writes with justice? A scribe who puts everything in its rightful place. You get someone, of course, in today's language, we might get our lawyer, for example. But in those days, the instruction was that of the utmost importance is that the katib, the one who writes the particular contract, is someone who understands the importance of justice. Notice there's a difference between adala, when it comes to, for example, someone who leads salah, and the adil, or the adl in this verse. Someone who leads salah, his adala, you're looking more as someone who's not an open sinner, for example. In this one, this is not the case. This is more of a case of a person who understands the importance of justice between two people. You know, sometimes in our communities, we always have someone who's known that people bring him in the middle of reconciliation. Sometimes people bring them in the middle when there's been a fight between people or people are getting married. They bring them in between. Why do they bring them? Because someone will say, هذا إنسان معتدل. He's a just person. هذا إنسان منصف. He's a person who is equitable, insaf, adala. These are people who you know when they come there, they are the type of people who recognize putting things in the right place. Excuse me, you've taken this amount from this person? Okay, you have. When you've taken it, how long before you pay it back? Let's write that down. Also, when you've taken it, make sure you're not going to use it for something else. Is it specifically for this purpose? Because you know someone might take money from you and you've told him, listen, I'm going to take this money because I want to buy a house. And then you see the person with a Ferrari. So when you see him with a Ferrari, you're like, hold on a minute. I gave you money to buy a house. How can you go for? He goes, wallah, I got an investment for this Ferrari. You won't believe. Yes, yes, but the agreement here. So whoever we get as a katib, and that's why if you get a nasty solicitor, that solicitor is going to go through certain fine points no one else with. But in Islam, the person who does it must be someone who's just. وَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ بِالْعَادِ وَلَا يَأْبَ كَاتِبٌ أَنْ يَكْتُبَ كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ فَلْيَكْتُبْ. And the person who you've chosen as a scribe should not refuse to record. This highlights how meritorious as well as how important it is for a person, if they're asked to be a scribe, to come and be a scribe. Because when the ayah said, كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ فَلْيَكْتُبْ, it meant that it is either in the opinion of some, Allah who taught you how to write, use those skills. It's a shame that if Allah has given you the power of writing, you don't write books, you don't write novels, you don't write articles. If Allah has given you the power of oratory, it's a shame if you don't use it to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to recite, or to lecture, or to read Quran. These are gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Quran said, أَنْ يَكْتُبَ كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ فَلْيَكْتُبْ, كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately is the one who taught us how to read and write. The second opinion is no. It becomes wajib kifai. That one of you in the community, when you are told that, listen, there is this being agreed, would you come and be the scribe? There should be one of you in the community who should come. You should not refuse. It is important that we all help each other in these things. Otherwise, why? If there isn't people coming forward to help, of course, the moment one comes forward to help, it doesn't need the whole community to come and join in, of course. But if one of us does come forward to help, it saves a major problem in the community. Why? Because sometimes when there's two people in a mosque who owe each other money, have you seen the tension when you walk in? Go in a family where there's two cousins who owe each other. See the tension. You know, you're just sitting there and you're like, those two are never going to sit next to each other ever again. Because you could tell there's been a major arka between them, there's been a major fight between them. Whereas if we straight away say, listen, if you two are making an agreement, you want me to write, I'll be there. Just sort out a time and I'll sort it out for you. Try and be of those who offers their help. Then what does the Quran say? وَلْيُمْلِ لِلَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقِّ. The one who should write, for example, should be the one who has taken the money. You've taken the money, you should be the one who writes the terms. Okay? This is helping you. You're in a position of difficulty. Also, if it's the other guy, he might, for example, extend a couple things. Listen, we're putting it in your court. We're being fair on you. We recognize that this is also a difficult moment. You know, when you have a hajjah where you come to someone and you're like, listen, I've got a hajjah, I've got hajjat. I need 10 grand, bro. I need 15 grand. It's a bit of a stick in the face when you're like, okay, I'll fill out everything. You know what? No problem. Write it down yourself, because even it's on his own conscience as well. Is that your handwriting or is that mine? Is that your email address or is that mine? Because later on, you could not come to me and say, I'm the one who changed the words. I'm the one who changed the date. I'm the one who changed the amount. You write. I've given you money. You write the terms. So the Quran said, وَلْيُمْلِ لِلَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ. And then how did it continue? وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهِ وَلَا يَبْخَسْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Of course, when you write, be someone who is conscious of Allah watching you writing. Don't change things. Don't move things. You are somebody who's been asked to write. And this, by the way, is for any contract in reality. That there is your trust with the people. And there is your position with who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could scam the people, but can you scam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You can con the people, but can you con Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Therefore, you write it, but don't change anything. Why? First, you should have taqwa. That when you're writing something like this, have taqwa. But second, وَلَا يَبْخَسْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. And don't be someone who is not grateful for this opportunity. This is a huge verse. How many times you ask seven people, eight people, and they all say, Wallah, I don't have, bro. Wallah, I can't help you now, bro. Wallah, come back to me next year, bro. Wallah, I've just finished 15 businesses now. Bro, I've just opened a new shop. Bro, I've just opened something else. That person who suddenly turns round to you and says, no problem, Habib, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You know what? Come see me in a few days, and inshallah, we'll discuss it. That person, do not be someone with such a person who is ungrateful. Because those are far and few between. You know, there are many rich people in the world who are extremely stingy. The more money they make, the more stingy they become giving away. Or they only give away to that which suits their mentality or suits their own akhirah or dunya, not yours. Is my name on there? Okay, I don't need my name on there. Is my family's name on there? Okay, I don't need my family's name on there. Does it look after me in any way? Can I put it as a tax write-off? But then when you find someone who says, Habibi, don't worry about it. You know what? You're our brother, and we could tell you're in difficulty. Come home. It's okay. Don't embarrass yourself. Such people. There are phrases in English, by the way, about such things. About, you know, when someone's generous with you, what's the phrase? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Or, you know, when someone's generous, don't take too much of their generosity. What that means is that when someone you've seen is a kareem to you, that person who's kareem towards you, don't take advantage of it. Because you know the ones who weren't generous to you? Ashu, with them, you're acting in a way as if they are a prophet walking. And that blatantly, that person said to you, go away. And with the one who was generous with you, what are you doing? You're making fun of them and you're really taking the mic. That person who was generous, don't take advantage of it. Those who were stingy, just because they were stingy or rude to you and abrupt, don't look up to them. Walk away from them. Turn your face away from such people. The one who's generous is the one you should be a bit more open with, because that person stood up for you and nobody else did. So the Quran said here, don't just fear Allah, be grateful when you found someone who'll give you a particular loan. You went to so-and-so, everyone said to you, that person, wallah, is the most richest person. You go to him, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, the business is not doing too well this year. We're only on about 19.6 million pound profit. Wallah, I once in my life, I was fundraising for a particular project. We went to a house of a billionaire. You know what he said to us? Times are hard. I said, if times are hard, yani, I said, what do I do? I dig a grave and just fall inside it. Wallah, what do I do? He said to me, times are hard. We needed a bus to go from one of his receptions to the other. That's how big the reception room was. We needed a bus. Have you ever taken a bus in someone's house? No, don't worry. It's only metaphorical. We needed a bus. So times are hard. Go to somebody who doesn't have as much money as him. He'll say, Habib. And not just, says it softly. Doesn't make you feel bad. Imams were known, if someone needed help, sometimes even from behind the door, they give. Don't worry. Don't look at us and say, Wallah, thank you. I want to kiss you. No. Okay. We know it's hard. We know it's hard to ask. So therefore, the Quran said to such people, you've taken money. Be grateful to those people. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَبْخَسْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا فَإِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ سَفِيهًا أَوْ ضَعِيفًا أَوْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يُمِلَّ Then what? هُوَ فَلْيُمْلِلْ وَلِيُّهُ بِالْعَادْلِ I need that money, but I could be of a number of categories. Either I'm of this, which category? سَفِيهًا. Safihan, for example, maybe someone who doesn't know much about financial transaction, even maybe someone who's a child. Someone who's a child, by the way, obviously they may not have expertise on these financial things. They just need something. That child, the wali, is mentioned here. فليملل وليه بالعدل. The wali of a child, say their dad's died, someone might look for their grandfather, Jidda, for example. Say the grandfather's not there, for example, Hakim al-Shara or the Mujtahid will appoint somebody to be the wali from this person. The government will either look for relatives in an Islamic state or the Hakim al-Shara, for example. Let's say if there's an orphan and their dad's left behind 1.5 million pounds. Does that orphan know what they're doing with 1.5 million quid? No, they don't know. So what happens then? The Hakim al-Shara can look after it until the orphan comes to a particular age where they can look after or open their own bank account and look after things. So here, Safihan, there's different interpretations. So you may find somebody who's Safi or Da'if. Okay, so you might find someone who, for example, is in a position where they are, let's say, weak. I don't know, maybe someone physically challenged. Okay, أو لا يستطيع أن يمل. So that person may not be of those who understands exactly or be able to write this. Then you get someone who's a guardian who'll look after them. So now what have we done, my dear brothers and sisters? We have got a case where there's two members of our community. We have said to them that the person who's taking the loan writes it down, must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, must be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We recognize that sometimes a person may take this on who might be a child, maybe mentally handicapped, maybe someone who, for example, doesn't know about financial transactions. These are all clear. The Quran then added another thing. What else? وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِيدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. Because I might write this down, and then one day you're like, remember, we have a contract. You're like, which contract? You're like, here's the contract. I can't remember it. You're like, bro, it's dated 16th of June, 2020. It's written clearly here that by today's date, for example, April whatever, 2021, you are going to pay me back. He's like, where's the witnesses? And a human being will ask for witnesses even if you're Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Even if you're Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Wasn't there the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi when he purchased something from the Arab? And the Arab then later on, when the Prophet says, you know what? I'll give you your money and the commodity. And then the Arab's like, I can't remember you ever paying me. And people were asked to testify for the Prophet. And the Prophet himself turned around and he's like, you know what? Would I lie? The person said, well, Ya Rasul, where's your witnesses? He's like, I'm the Prophet of God. So where's your witnesses? Until who came? Khuzaymah bin Thabit. And they called him Dhul Shahadatain. The Shahadatain is what? The man whose one witnessing equals two. Because he came, he said, you guys doubt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, I believed in him on things I cannot see. God, the day of judgment, prophets who came before him. You think I'm going to doubt him about the sale of a camel, for example? Witnesses are vital. And so the ayah, look, we're still on the same ayah. We're still going through instruction after instruction. Look how long the ayah is. Witnesses are vital. وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِيدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. Get two male witnesses from your community. Let them come together and let them witness over this. You know, sometimes you say, can you sign here? Can you sign here? Two witnesses, let's move on. Because we know very well that people will find a way of saying, no one saw this. Were you there? You weren't there. So the Quran said, not only do you both write how much, how long the loan is for, but you also have two witnesses. I ask you, how many of us would not have problems in our community if we'd done this step by step? How many of us, just oral, verbal, and we caused headache after headache? What you do is you got your witnesses. وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِيدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. What if I don't have two men? فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُونَا رَجُلَيْنِ فَرَجُلٌ وَامْرَأَتَانِ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ أَنْ تَضِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى. Probably one of the most controversial sections in the Quran is when people ask, how comes one man equals two women? We always get this question. Why is it that the testimony or the witnessing of two woman is equal to one man. And you have a clamor. Where are the rights for women in Islam? Look at how the woman is looked at. This is not a question of rights. It's a question of responsibilities. There's a difference. Many people fall in the trap of this question, that how comes two witnesses, female equals one male? The first point that has to be made clear is it's not a question of rights, it's a question of responsibility. If you want to talk to me about rights of woman in the Quran, I can give you 100 other ayahs of rights of woman. This is not a right of woman. This is a responsibility that may come. Remember, we said it's not wajib to do these things. These are only what? Mustahab, for example. They're not wajib. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubuh is not wajib. It is something highly recommended. Therefore, even when you're going to get the shuhud, normally who would you get as witnesses? You're going to get two of your friends, for example, two males in the community. Hardly ever are you going to have this situation. But it could happen. In the area of bearing witness and the area of providing testimony, because this surah, or this verse, I call it a surah because it's so long, this verse is a verse that takes us from the beginning of writing to the end of providing testimony. The Quran didn't straight away say you get one male witness or two female. It said you get two male. Why? Because it knew that most of the people involved in finance in Medina were what? Were male. Someone says, but Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam, she was a great businesswoman. Number one, Sayyida Khadija lived in Mecca, never lived in Medina. These verses are in Medina. Number two, Sayyida Khadija herself never was involved in the transaction. Her agents were in the transactions. Number three, Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam doesn't represent every female on this earth. The responsibility of being called in to a sensitive issue like an agreement between two parties and knowing that one day there's a chance, hello, salamu alaykum, can you come to court? Why? How many of us want to go to court? People shiver when they hear court. I don't want to go court, bro. Don't tell me court. The only time you go to court is if you're forced because you were driving so fast. You got a letter that says you have to come to court. You get there, you dress in a suit you never worn in your life. You act polite, the guy still gives you a ban and you move on. As you could tell, it still has affected me. In Medina, most of the financial transactions, because this ayah is on what? What's this ayah on? Salah? It's on Saum? It's on Hajj? It's on Deen? Most of the dune, most of the loans or the debts that were incurred, were they incurred by men or women? Men! Someone says, Sayyidina, today the head of this investment bank or the head of this law firm, things have changed completely. I'm like, no doubt. I don't doubt it. But even those ladies who work in these places, sometimes there are some pressure situations which are hard to face. Look, ladies have been given gifts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Men have been given gifts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even with the emotional aspect of our makeup as human beings, sometimes we still need the support of another human being in a difficult situation. Be we a man or be we a woman. A girl could be on the verge of divorce, but she'll still want to call her friend. You know what? I'm going through a heart. Would you come and support me? A girl may be on the verge of divorce. She wants her mom to be with her when they're talking to the imam about the issue. Notice here that firstly, we're not talking about women's rights in Islam. When a person says, what's this Quran of yours? One man equals two women, two women equal one. No. Firstly, this is not about the rights of women. It's about the responsibility that comes in a sensitive issue of witnessing and providing testimony later on. With this issue in a male-oriented, dominated Arabia, and I would say in this world, there's seven continents, I would say definitely five of them, it's still male-dominated, many of the jobs and many of the financial issues. The responsibility that came with this was a huge burden. The responsibility that came with it. So then, when the scholars were looking at that particular ayah, And when they saw the section which said what? The section that said فَرَجُلٌ وَامْرَأَتَانِ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ أَنْ تَظِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى. People ask this question, what does it mean? أَنْ تَظِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا. What does that mean? Because the first part of the ayah is clear. The first part of the ayah said that if you can call to witness two witnesses from amongst your men, and if there isn't two men, then take a man and two women of those you approve, so that one of the two women can X the other. What's the X? What does it mean when it says أن تظل إحداهما? What is تظل? Some said so that one of the women can help the other one. If what? Help the other one if she forgets. فتذكر إحداهما. So they said تظل means what? Means forget, because تذكر is what in English? Remind, correct? So they said تظل means if one of them forgets, the other one will remind. Because it's a pressure cooker situation. But I couldn't understand how the word تظل means forget. Have you ever had anyone say to you that, you know what, I've forgotten you. ظليتك or تظليتك or No. I've forgotten you. How would you sometimes hear someone say, I've forgotten you? نسيتك مثلا. So therefore, what could it mean? I know that تظل also refers to مثلا in Surah Al-Fatiha, for example, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين ووجدك ضالا فهدى. تظل ضال normally means on a path that's deviated, astray. So maybe here it's a case, literally, that the pressure is so much in being involved in a context. Until today, there are multi-million pound deals in hedge funds and banks, which are big pressure cooker moments. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. But in some cases, it can be daunting. The Quran said in your responsibility, because it's heavy and because you may be diverted, so we'll get a second female alongside you who will help bring you back. But this is in the context of finance, that the witnessing of one man, two women. What happens if you have a case where you have the witnessing of a man against his wife? Does she need someone else to support her? So it becomes two witnesses against one. Say there's an accusation of adultery. Or is it 1-1? Go to Surah 24. Surah 24. Surah Nur. Surah 24 of the Quran. Right at the beginning of Surah 24. If you find the page, just call it out. 350. Ahsantum. You go there. There's an accusation which is leveled here. Verse number 6 of Surah 24 shows you that not in all instances is the witnessing of the female, it requires two females for one male. Here is one of the examples where it's one male, one female. Actually, the female trumps the male. How? وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ شُهَدَاءُ إِلَّا أَنفُسُهُمْ فَشَهَادَةُ أَحَدِهِمْ أربع شهادات بالله إنه لمن الصادقين. We agree? For those who accuse their wives while they have no witnesses except themselves, then the testimony of one of them shall be taken four times by God. والخامسة أن لعنة الله عليه إن كان من الكاذبين. And the fifth one, he says what? Fifth. Because you know, normally for adultery you need four witnesses. So he's given his four statements, yes? And the fifth one, 4 for the normal witnesses, and then the fifth one is his one, la'na on the liar. Okay? Verse number 8. وَيَدْرَأُ عَنْهَا الْعَذَابَ أَنْ تَشْهَدَ أَرْبَعَ شَهَادَاتٍ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. It shall avert punishment from her if she testifies 4 times swearing by Allah that he is a liar. وَالْخَامِسَةَ أَنَّ غَضَبَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And the fifth oath to be that the wrath of God be on her if he be truthful. He said, my missus stabbed me behind my back. She's committed zina behind my back. 4 times, like you want 4 witnesses, I say it 4 times, and the fifth is from me. She replies by saying, and I reply to his 4, and the fifth is from me. Nothing happens to her. If it's a case that his witnessing and hers, she requires 2. How comes here 1-1 and she trumps his? So you don't always have it as a case that one witnessing, only here in the verse of finance, because it's a pressure situation which many of the ladies were not in. Let's go back. So what does it say? And mind you, my dear brothers and sisters, I even remember, I think Sheikh Mughniya, may Allah bless his soul, he used to look at this as a ta'abudi issue. Allah has dictated this, there's nothing else we could say. Allah knows the wisdom behind this. Because you know, sometimes we want to go into falsafa of every ayah, we want to give answers, and people once said Ammar to give something that suits them, and you want something that suits you, and she wants something. But I cannot give you an answer that suits all of you in life. Sometimes, ta'abbud, my Lord, you said Salat al-Maghrib is 3, I haven't got a clue why. You said Isha is 4, I don't know why. You said Fajr is 2, I don't know why. Ta'abbud. But sometimes, even in our history, the hadith of one lady is bigger than the hadith of 1,000 men. Sometimes when Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam would say something, there's 1,000 who don't come near her truthfulness. So it doesn't apply to all cases. We agree? Let's go back. So then the Quran says, subhanallah, one ayah of the Quran, and I'm midway through, and the camera crew are already after me. Let's continue. When the Quran then said, وَلَا يَأْبَ الشُّهَدَاءُ إِذَا مَا دُعُوا. Those of you who've been asked now to provide testimony, come forward. Don't refuse. You're summoned for evidence. Ayatullah al-Khu'i, may Allah bless his soul, used to talk of the fact that you, if you are to bear testimony, then you cannot refuse. You are asked, you have to go. Okay? وَلَا يَأْبَ الشُّهَدَاءُ إِذَا مَا دُعُوا وَلَا تَسْأَمُوا أن تكتبوه صغيرا أو كبيرا إلى أجله. Don't say, you know what, that you know whether it's a transaction, small, big, I'm too tired to write it. Write. Write. Whatever the transaction is, write. There's a stress on this. Don't come and say, bro, it's just a, what is this, 500 quid, he's going to give it back to me in 6 months, I don't need 500. And 500 quid in 6 months might become the most important 500 of your life. Write. Don't shy away or say, bro, I can't be bothered. Bro, I've known him for years. Sometimes the ones you know for years are the ones who end up stabbing you. Okay? ذَلِكُمْ أَقْسَطُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَأَقْوَمُ لِلشَّهَادَةِ وَأَدْنَى أَلَّا تَرْتَابُ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً حَاضِرًا. Okay. What does it say here? It says this is better. This procedure is more equitable with Allah. It will bring justice, this procedure of writing. Because whether you're just witnessing, you one day may have to be a witness in court. So you might as well write everything down so that in court we don't have 6 months court case. It'll be finished in one day. Do you agree? And so that, what else? So that as well, وَأَدْنَا أَلَّا تَرْتَابُوا, so that you don't forget as well, because you may forget, at least if you've written everything down, it's dated, and it's notarized, and it's stamped, you cannot say, bro, I can't remember, because some of us can't remember what we did 2 days ago. Let alone if it's an issue of a fight between two people in the community from 3 years ago. So the Quran therefore said what? Said that this is the best thing for you because it brings you nearness to the confirmation that you won't be falling in any kind of doubt thereafter. Unless, of course, إلا أن تكون تجارة حاضرة تديرونها بينكم فليس عليكم جناح ألا تكتبوها. However, if there is, for example, a تجارة حاضرة, which means what? There is a form of tijara اللي you say to me, Sayyidna, اطيني مثلا 100,000 pounds, give me 100,000 pounds, and I'll give me a year or two or three until the agriculture or the farm grows, وبعدين أرجع لك مبلغ. I'll give you back the amount. There's a form of tijara which is hadhara. Here, there. You know what? I bought a car for you. How much? You say to me, saying that £12,000 is the price of the car. Hey, bro, is there 12 grand agreed? Yes. Even with that, it's not a sin if you don't write, but it's better if you write. Right. Fulan ibn Fulan, Fulan ibn Fulan, we have both agreed that this transaction, although done on the spot, it's not a transaction of an investment, for example, or something that comes later, there and then, right. Sayarat Fulan was sold for this amount, okay? Washhidu idha tabayatum. Washhidu idha tabayatum means what? Washhidu idha tabayatum means that make sure you get your witnesses as well on this. Bro, come with me. I'm going to buy a car. Just be a witness that you saw what happened. Or be a witness to the way the car looked. Do you agree? Okay. وَأَشْهِدُ إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ وَلَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَهِيدٌ. And don't end up doing what? And don't end up hurting the one who is a scribe or a witness. Because you know what happens? Sometimes you coerce someone into doing it. You can't. Sometimes someone travels all the way to do it, you don't pay. Sometimes people get death threats. Is it true that you were involved in this deal and you were a witness? Not allowed. وَلَا يُضَارُ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَهِيدٌ وَإِن تَفْعَلُوا فَإِنَّهُ فُسُوقٌ بِكُمْ. If you do this, then you go out of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When someone bears test, you know, sometimes you provide testimony in court and then people are like, did you hear this guy? Do not threaten someone. Don't coerce someone. Don't mock someone. They've been asked to give witness in a court. Don't start coming and attacking. Because this becomes a sign of fusuq. A fasiq is someone who goes out of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Be conscious of Allah all the time. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. People in the world of mysticism love this ayah because they say if you have taqwa of Allah, your teacher becomes Allah. They say if you want to see the highest level of spirituality, it is when someone is conscious of Allah's presence, Allah becomes their teacher. Some ulama say Allah becomes your teacher. Doesn't mean that suddenly he'll just be like, because you've got taqwa, you've memorized all the Quran, you know all the books of fiqh. No. Rather, Allah gives you ma'rifah, insight, where you see things clearer than others. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. And that's why the next ayah, just to continue, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ وَلَمْ تَجِدُوا كَاتِبًا. What do you do? فَرِهَانٌ مَقْبُوضًا. You're on a journey, you don't find someone to write everything down, to not take note of the pledge, then you take something as collateral. Can be done. That you're like, bro, you know what? We can't conclude everything now. I can't give you everything now. Take this as collateral. So all of these points were to highlight to us that most of our problems in our communities would not be there if we first wrote everything down, if we got witnesses, if the witnesses were just in the eyes of Allah, if we were grateful to Allah, and if we made sure that whether it's £10 or whether it's £1,000. I'm not going to deny in Islamic history, sometimes you could do all of that and they still say Fadak is not yours. It could happen. But one thing Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam always wanted was that those people in my army are not people who owe people money. Rather, the people in my army are people who don't have a single debt on their shoulders, to the extent Muslim bin Aqil alayhi salam in his wasiyyah insisted that a true Husayni is someone, even if there's a certain amount left, they make sure that in their will, whether it's Umar bin Sa'ad or Ibn Ziyad, make sure you pay this off for me before I pass away. In this holy month of Ramadan, we pray for all those who have debts on their shoulders. Ya Allah, bless them. And Ya Allah, bless those who are finding difficulties in paying back their debts, be it £10 or be it more. There are many who face this trial of debt, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them in this holy month. We continue tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.